Yes, thank you very much. Sorry for that. Somebody here is writing, if you need a light, contact the Rural Development Commission instead of the Barbados Light and Power. Well, this person was calling from an urban area, so I don't know how that will come in. But thank you very much. I don't see a name but thank you. We go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning to you, Mr. Price.
Good morning, Patrick.
How are you doing?
I'm well.
Okay. Mr. Price, I don't know if anybody raised it because I was doing other things this morning and then had a chance. But I think I felt it necessary to raise it because I think that when things become come to this level, that somebody needs to step up to the plate. And a lot has to do with what was in circulation yesterday relative to the Minister Response to Industry, the Honorable Ronald Toppin, and this voice note that was in circulation on social media with obviously a public servant who felt a grief by any actions or inaction of the minister. Now, having listened to the voice note, I want to make it clear, right? You know that I pursue an LLB law degree. I listened to the lady, and in the first paragraph of her complaint, she admitted that she was wrong. Let me explain. She introduced the occasion herself, and since she works in the building, 8-story, remedial work is being undertaken, which obviously created less space in the car park. She went forward and she parked, recognizing that it was a park designated for the minister and that had its markation, and there was another one that wasn't marked, and she proceeded to park, and she said, and she identified the other one and said that one is designed for persons who work at management level in the different ministries. That was her account of the story, and she proceeded to park there. That in itself is an admission of guilt, because she knowing full well what the designated parking areas and to whom they were assigned, but yet she parked. Now, her first point of reference, Sanka, would have been to touch base or have an audience with security personnel and ask security personnel, tell them, I'm a bit confused given the remedial work that is being undertaken down here, and I'm asking you to guide me as to where you think I should park. I work on the first floor, second floor, third floor, or fifth floor. You with me so far, or you're not with me?
I'm with you. I'm listening to you.
Good. So to proceed and then to speak about the take pictures of the minister having your vehicle blocked in, and that you could not leave because your vehicle was blocked in, and when you try to seek an audience to get the minister to move it, that the minister then refused. Now, I want to make it abundantly clear this morning that having heard it, I became disturbed and decided I want to get the other side of the story, having heard her account of the story. What I did was I journeyed to Parliament, and the record can bear that out, and I had an audience with the minister. And not only was the minister, another minister joined to indicate that he had a similar problem in his ministry, where persons indiscriminately come and park in the minister's car park, designated for the minister, go about their business, and the minister confessed that he had to park behind the vehicle till the person returned. I'm not clear as to if this is a common practice going forward, but the point I want to make is that she cannot now come to use the collection of her children at 3 o'clock as a means to secure some kind of emotional feelings for herself, Mr. Price, and try to rip up society into believing that wrong or harm has been done to you when you, by your own admission, admitted that you parked in the area knowing full well that the spots were designated for individuals that does not include she, the person. So I just felt that I would make it clear, because Baron needs to understand it. You have two ears, listen, and do less speaking, and you would understand where you're going. Don't just fall into this nonsense that people walking about trying to confuse the society with. It is foolishness.
All right, you hear the theme, and we have to take a break here, and we'll be right back after the regional roundup. Welcome back to Brass Tack. This is Sanka Price here with you, along with Dennis Johnson, the producer's chair. And that last caller, of course, we had to go to take a break because I really wanted to respond to him. But before I do get involved in responding to him, I really want to share some of the views that we have here on WhatsApp on this matter. And this person says, my question to you and the lady, this is a question to Patrick who called, and the lady who had the problem yesterday in a parking lot at Warren's is this. Does her work agreement contain a clause which states that she is entitled to leave governmental employment at a particular time each day to run personal errands? And if so, is she still entitled to a paid lunch hour? I'm just curious, sir. Though the minister's action is a story for another day. Thank you. And this other person sent through the one I think some of us would have heard on the voice note with from Olu Walron. And I can't read it all because it's kind of long, but he's basically saying, those who have power should always exercise it with the understanding that all power comes from God and that the unjust use of power will come back to haunt them later. Mr. Toppin, what you did to that woman was callous and totally unbecoming of someone in your position, and especially someone who quite possibly Mr. Toppin, what you did to that woman was callous and totally unbecoming of someone in your position, and especially someone who quite possibly might have gone to that woman's home a few months ago asking for her vote. It was insensitive and just plain wrong. These are not the best of times. Suppose something untoward had happened to that woman's children while you sat in your office ignoring her desire to leave. She acted quite reasonably. She obeyed the instruction not to park in marked spaces. She chose an unmarked space. Why should she be punished because for following the rules? And why do you think you need to have two parking spaces because you are now the Honorable Minister? And I'll take just one more. And I'm not seeing it. Oh, here it is. So tell us, Patrick. Now, Patrick said he went to Parliament to hear Mr. Toppin's side, but he never said what Toppin's side was. Tell us what Toppin said. One day someone was parked in my spot, which is reserved, and that person had to move. Of course, he cussed me out, but he had to move. So tell us, Patrick, what did Mr. Toppin say? let's go back to our phone lines. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, you're on the air.
I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome.
Yeah, you appreciate that.
Yes,
I'm calling about the St. Philip Polyclinic. Mm-hmm. When you call at the St. Philip Polyclinic, nobody answers the telephone. I was calling that clinic from 5:09 this morning. 5:08, sorry. This morning. And up to about 5 minutes ago, I haven't get a message through there. Nobody answered that phone. I would like the minister that in charge of the polyclinic to please come and take an urgent look about the St. Philip Polyclinic. I believe it is the worst one in Barbados. And nobody is answering the telephone. That is not right.
Mm-hmm. So,
yes.
Yes. No. Have you called them before?
I normally call the polyclinic and don't ever get an answer. Skip.
So you
don't answer.
They don't answer because no. I heard this is something that is happening more and more. People keep talking about that people are not answering the phone or the calls go to voicemail. So you hear that, but the whole thing about it is that. You're also making a statement that they're not really you're not getting the sort of service that you want. You have something in your background that's giving a lot of noise and hearing it back in
there. Let me tell you what it is. The garbage up here is so stink that I have to use my fan in order to get a little air. Because I have to close my window.
I see. So when last was the garbage collected in that area?
Must be about 2 weeks or so ago. And by the rainfall, people from all walks of life bring the garbage and put it above my house, not on my premises.
I see.
So that is the problem that I have. I'm trying to get help because I'm disabled.
All right, but did you call the Sanitation Service Authority and just to make them aware that where your that particular area in St. Philip has not had a collection in over 2 weeks?
No, because I don't even know the numbers, because the numbers change not so fast, to tell the truth.
Okay.
That is the reason. Mm-hmm. But I would like somebody to see into that polyclinic out there. It's not good.
But you're sure the numbers have not changed for the polyclinic?
No, the numbers,
a number of numbers have changed over the years at a number of these polyclinics.
That same number, the number is 423-6231. That is the number. I don't attend the polyclinic, but I used to carry a friend of mine there when it was vibrant, and I see that the phone ringing and the people just looking at the phone and not answering. It is not good.
Mm. All right. I was looking just
now. So I would like mm-hmm. all who are responsible to see about that polyclinic. And also, I would like a little assistant with this bad smell of garbage that is above my place.
All right.
I can't walk because I have a hip replacement, and I just pin up. So that's why I have to put on this fan. Sorry for the inconvenience of your hearing.
All right, my dear. I will certainly try to contact someone for you from the Sanitation Service Authority. I was looking through my phone to see if I had the number. I don't, surprisingly. And that I would be able to give it to everyone on air so that they'll know who to call and what number to call to get some quick action. Thank you very much for calling. I have to just read this WhatsApp. Hi, I heard a caller alluding to himself pursuing a degree in law and stating that the lady who parked in the minister's spot was wrong. I might agree with him, but I also asked this question. Suppose I was driving down the road and stood in the middle of the road stopping me and others from going about our lawful business, and I knocked him out of the road. Would I be right claiming he had no right to stop me from passing? I would say no, and I would also say, he who knows better, let him do better. Take this next call. Good afternoon, you're on the air. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, you're on the air, sir.
Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Price. A lady spoke to you earlier, and she was saying that, she said that the last government practiced protectionism. You remember that lady?
Yeah.
I find that rather interesting because I live in the same Barbados and I don't recall that. I thought protectionism went out after we liberalized trade in the 90s. I remember trade liberalization took place in the 90s under Mr. Arthur, as far as I recall. And after that, there was no real protection as such. I remember there was some little buy local campaign, I think you referred to that at some point. But when it comes to, I can't imagine that in an environment of protectionism that a vehicle distribution company would make record profits. I recall, don't forget, before trade liberalization, do not forget, credit controls were used extensively to restrict the outflow of foreign exchange. And that's the hero of protectionism, and it occurred under Tom Adams and under Mr. Sandy Ford.
Mm-hmm.
I think that
in the context in which I understood her,
what she was saying,
protectionism might not necessarily have been the right word to use, but I understood clearly what she was saying, and I think that you did too.
No, I don't understand what
you're taking it to its logical conclusion, and you're correct in doing that. Okay, but all I'm saying is that I think if we put the conversation in context, you would recognize what she was trying to say.
Well, I didn't get what I think because I heard it. I saw protection. I know what is protectionism, right? And I know how we did have the era of protectionism. I know that a major thing done was credit controls to restrict the outflow of foreign exchange.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, that's why I consider for protection. I know that during the 1990s, that after we liberalized trade, that came to an end. And if you notice from that time, we never used credit control. In fact, when the bank working, we were using, in fact, in those days, the way I said about the car company, because I could not imagine in that environment in the early 1990s or late 1880s, during the 80s, a car company making record profits, because in order to buy a car, I remember at some time, people had to have half the money and the balance had to be repaid in 18 months. That's why I refer to the whole thing. That was when we really had protectionism.
Your point is made. It's well made, uh-huh. And I understand, and I think most of us understand it, but as I would stick to what I was saying. But in the context that she said it, I understood what she was saying too. Fair enough. Is there another point you want to raise, sir?
No, it's just I heard that one.
All right, have a great day. We take this one more call. You're on the air. Good morning. Good afternoon, sorry. It's 12:17. Good afternoon. Yes, how are you?
Good afternoon, Mr. Price.
How are you today?
How are you keeping today?
I'm well.
I gave him the number for the sanitation, 535,000.
Okay, thank you. 535,000. That's the Sanitation Service Authority.
Yes.
Okay.
So you have a blessed day.
Oh, so you don't have a problem? You don't have any challenges in where you live with sanitation service collections? Oh, she's gone, because someone here in the WhatsApp is saying that we're now paying for the collection of garbage, and yet there are pileups still all over the island. And that is why, and you're correct, sir or madam, whoever it is, who sent that note. But that is why I was so alarmed when I saw from the Minister of the Environment, under whose portfolio the SSA now falls, making the point that $40 million in the hole. I mean, this is ridiculous. All right, we take this next call. Good afternoon, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
I just wish to give the number for the SSA for the lady.
Okay. Go ahead.
I have 5355052. Okay. That's the number that I would call.
All right. But thank you. And I would like to ask you, please don't go. Do you have any difficulty with your garbage collection situation?
No. Our garbage here is collected every week. If we don't see it by the first week, at least a Monday, or sometimes it comes to a Saturday or Sunday. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say we have any problems.
I see. That's great. And which area is this?
This is in Flagstaff.
Flagstaff in Britain's Hill. Yes, all right. Mm-hmm. And what about the road construction? They were doing some roads in that area. I mean, what has become of that? Because I haven't passed in a while.
They're still working on it. They have to come through a side road that would just lead you back onto the main road. Mm-hmm. It's not a long road they have to come to, but they're still working on it.
Are you satisfied with the quality of work being done and the pace at which the work is being done?
I don't really have to pass there. I did walk there, walk across to the other side of the street, and on Monday, and it was great. But surprisingly, yesterday they were digging up again. I really wouldn't speak to it. It would probably be people that are on the main stretch, because I'm off the street. I'm off on a side road.
Mm-hmm. All right, my dear. Thank you very much for calling. It's callers like you we depend on to keep us on our toes. We take another call. This is Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Sanka. How are you?
I am well, and you?
I am trying to be good, but that's difficult for me.
Why is that difficult for you?
Oh, no, we'll leave that one alone. You'll figure that one out. Sanka, how much do you think it costs a day to keep an inmate in prison? Just give me an approximate figure.
I don't like to give approximate figures, especially when the figure has been published, and I am aware that the annual figure, I think it's 20-something thousand. I'm speaking under correction, but I saw the figure. So it is, I think it's around $20,000-something a year per prisoner, but I'm speaking under correction. I emphasize that, but I did see the figure. It is expensive,
okay.
And that is why we should really be looking at using the available technology and just stop talking about these things. And one of the visual technologies, as you know, is like those ankle bracelets, ankle locators, GPS locators, that the former minister Innes is presently wearing. That technology is old stuff. That's old school stuff that's been around for about 10, 15 years. So clearly, we do not need, in my view, to be putting so many people up there like that. Well, you know, we have to find a better way to deal with this situation here. We just can't keep locking people away.
Can I say something?
Yes, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Because this is the voice of Barbados, right? I just want to say two things. That's why I called, to state my views on two things. Mm-hmm. First of all, the whole of Barbados knows I'm against anybody, especially men, our black men, that we really need out here in the workforce. Spending time for nonviolent crimes in prison. I believe that the ones that are in prison, they should be allowed to volunteer their services cleaning up Barbados, the bush, and the garbage that is here, there, and everywhere in exchange for a lesser sentence. That's number one. This is for the nonviolent ones.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only ones I'm concentrating on, because we have a lot of people in jail, not only for victimless crimes, but who could be benefiting society. After all, we are feeding and clothing them. It is not the judge. It is we, the people, who are feeding, clothing, and giving them shelter for the time they're in prison. Now, you said $27,000 a year.
Do not quote me
right?
on that. That's
okay,
why.
But anywhere
it's, a, it's several it, thousand dollars a year. Don't quote me on that because I'm speaking out of correction.
No, I won't quote you. I'll quote you because I said approximately. Okay? Because the Auditor General already told us that whatever we see doesn't necessarily have to be the true figures of many things. So I'm just saying approximately. Now, if we're spending 27, let's say 28, or anywhere around there, let's say in a quarter period, that's about $7,000, 3 months, right? You're going to put a man in jail, and we, the taxpayers, are going to pay $7,000, and I believe it's higher than that, for 3 months, for a man who stole $8 worth of chocolate, something's wrong. Something is definitely wrong with our system where you would do that to a black man. You know, colonial days are over. Slavery is over. Our men are having a very tough time because women seem to be progressing, but we're leaving behind the who's supposed to be the head of the home. He's being left behind. He's being disenfranchised, and it's wrong. And we shouldn't be repeating the same mistakes that was an advantage during colonial days and slavery days, but not today. We need that head of the family. Yes, women can do it. But as far as I'm concerned, they're going to get very mad at me. They only need the spine, the skeleton. You need a man as the head of a family.
All right, this is me. I'll respond to you because you said something. You made some like interesting points, but you said something called victimless crime. I don't believe in that. As long as there's a crime, there's a victim involved. Even if the victim happens to be the person who did perpetrated the crime. But I was looking on the.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what a victimless crime is. Okay.
All right, quickly because
right
I want to tell you
it,
something
hold
else.
Hold it. Mm-hmm. Hold it. Let me explain myself.
Be quick.
A victimless crime to me is a man who's sitting on a bench smoking a spliff. Who's the victim?
I think the man is because he's doing foolishness to himself.
So he's the victim and the perpetrator. Come on. Come off of it. Give me a sensible answer.
Well,
who
is the
victim?
Sensible answer I can
who
give you.
Who is the victim?
Look, let me go to the Barbados Prison Services report. This is the 2016 report. And this is just to clear, because I like to have the facts in front of me. It says, and this is under the heading, one, cost of incarcerating offenders. The performance of a prison system is periodically assessed on what it costs to secure and care for each offender. It is internationally acknowledged that incarceration is an expensive exercise, and as a consequence, the BPS, that's Barbados Prison Service, seeks to establish value for money in its operation and performance. In 2015, it cost approximately $31,271.72 per annum to keep an offender in safe custody, which translates to approximately $85.68 per day. However, in 2016, it cost approximately $30,323.07 per annum to keep an offender in custody, which translates to approximately $83.08 per day. The figure, however, does not take into account any additional expenses occasioned by services provided by the psychiatric and Queen Elizabeth hospitals and the visits to the various polyclinics or private doctors. And it just goes on and goes on. But you have an idea that you're talking about $30,000 plus per annum, which is
but do you
just
have
over $80.
Do you know my point? Do you get my point?
No, I take your point, and I agree with you that we have to be looking at all alternatives, and I agree with you totally with that.
Let me tell you something.
The only thing that I had questioned was a victimless crime, because I don't believe in that. But we won't go there, because we have less than we have just over a minute now before we go to the latest.
Have a good day.
You too. And thank you very much for calling. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard the music. We're going to the latest. And then after that, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. This is Sanka Price along with Dennis Johnson. And before we go back to the phone lines, just go back to really to the first call that we had talking about the backlog of traffic around Nursery Drive, Constitution Road areas and whatnot. And you would remember that the Chairman of the Transport Authority, Mr. Ian Espick, sent us a note saying that the bus stop will be relocated into the western end of Nursery Drive. And that has been welcomed by a number of people on the WhatsApp. And one of the persons I was talking to off-air during the news was Mr. Roy Raphael. He's the chair of the Alliance of Public Transport Owners. Alliance Owners of Public Transport, and they are very happy with the move, and he also wants to say that the association is also happy with the Constitution River Terminal. They have one issue with the lighting, but they expect, based on their discussions, that too will be taken care of shortly. He's also reporting that the level of traffic, passenger traffic, has increased. More people are coming in and using the terminal, which is very good news. And he wanted me to tell the public that by December 1st, all those staff, drivers and conductors who were on the edges of the association, of the alliance, they will be in the new uniforms and you can look out for them. So he's expecting a better profile and everything from his people, and the public can be assured of a better service. So that's at least some good news. Secondly, the WhatsApps keep flowing in as well regarding this incident with the minister of Minister Ronald Topping and the car park situation. And this person here is saying, we seem to have a power complex in Barbados. Too often we fail to take the high road when conflict arises. Whether the lady was right or wrong, why display your level of power to that extent? Totally ungracious, unbecoming, and unprofessional of the minister's high office. The results reflect more unfavorably on the minister than the lady. We seem to have forgotten the old paths of respect and honoring each other. What a sad place we're in more ways than one. We go back to the phone lines. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Price.
How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
But I have a complaint here from Lily.
Yes.
This is in Rock Close, Factory Avenue, and Field Road.
Factory Avenue and?
Field Road.
Field Road.
Now we have lots of mosquitoes and rats running around due to 7 vehicles in Rock Close. That needs to be removed. I've spoken to someone at housing, but not at housing, at the environmental health, about the vehicles. I've spoken about the grass need cutting in Rock Close. No one has come. And I'm now requesting that Factory Avenue has a lot of grass, which requires a tractor, because no wheelbarrow can cut that. It's so tall and dangerous that we need to have that cut down.
Right.
And in Factory Avenue, there are 8 derelict vehicles, which is posing a threat to the neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Who does those vehicles belong to?
I have no idea.
How did they get there?
Maybe mechanics or people who drove them.
But yeah, but so you're trying to tell me they don't belong to anybody,
belong
any
to
of the residents?
There, but I don't know.
You know,
so we need a cleanup campaign up here in Wildy.
But
we do.
I asked the question earlier on how we got here, and I was speaking, you know, in general. When you think of a situation like those derelict vehicles there, how did they get there in the first place?
It's very unsightly.
It would suggest to me that somebody who lives around there or works around there would have put those vehicles there. They're responsible for those vehicles, and it's on somebody's property. Is that on Crown Land?
It's in the little car park.
You know, I mean, really.
So
they would have to be there for several years, I would take it. They would have to be there for several years. They didn't just go there.